Did you know that a single strand of spaghetti is called a spaghetto? We've got all sorts of fun and interesting facts and more coming up.
We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. In case you didn't know, I'm Rhino. This is my show. And I wonder what the plural of Rhino would be. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun and excitement, and you just might learn something. Yes, folks, this is a podcast about pop culture references, random facts and information that might make you sound smarter in a basic conversation. Unless you're already smart, then I don't know what to tell you, but you might have fun along the way. So with that thrilling introduction, it's time to talk about our special guest for this episode. You've heard her before in many different episodes, talking about all sorts of fun things like Gilmore Girls and teaching and math. It's our resident mathlete, ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Doggett. Hello, Rachel. How are you on this lovely day?
Fantastic.
Fantastic and a half, or just regular fantastic?
I would say fantastic, regular.
Now, on a perfect day, what type of fantastic would you like to be?
Fantastic and a half.
Ooh, is the extra half because of being extra awesome?
Of course.
There you go. I used to end most episodes of the YouTube channel like, it's going to be like awesome and a half. The extra half is because it's me. You're welcome. Tell your friends. And then I'd say, and that's pretty much all we have for this episode of The Thing. What's that? It's The Thing. You know, ding. Credits theme yep. song.
Credits theme song.
Yes. Life as a former YouTube local non-celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So living in South Carolina right now, this episode mm-hmm. is being recorded during the corona pandemic, as I'm calling it. One of many, because I've had lots of time to record these. What have you been doing during this awkward at-home time?
I split my time cleaning, of course. I got time to clean. So that's like deep cleaning every single room of the house has been my goal. When I'm not cleaning, I have office hours because I'm a teacher, so I have to split some of my time with my students.
How does that work? And,
there's an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon that I have to be like practically, I would say like on my laptop ready to like answer questions. And the students contact me like via either email or Remind 101, which is an app that they've downloaded, which they've had all year. And they just talk to me through that, send me pictures of what they've been doing through the packet that I gave them to do.
So it started off with you giving them a packet. Was this beforehand or?
Yeah, we had to, this was, when we knew we were going to be off, the teachers came in and we all had to like scrounge to get like a packet that's going to be worth of 10 days worth of material for them to do. And so it's depend on per teacher how they want to divide up the work. They could either like the students could do like the packet all at one time, or they could separate it out every day and have a section of questions that they do every day, which is what I did. So that I feel it's more doable and not overwhelming.
Also, so they're not binging through, because I used to have the problem when I was in school where I would learn everything immediately and then remember it for the test. And then after the test, I would purge all that useful information.
Yes. Oh, yes. I would totally purge it. So it's, and we can't teach anything new. So it's all old stuff.
So how does that work in pertaining to them graduating and whatnot?
That's a good question. Nobody knows.
Okay.
Nobody knows. Prom has been postponed because it was supposed to be April 4th and we're not going to be possibly in school for that. And then I don't know about graduation. Who knows?
So when was the hypothetical end of the school year?
The hypothetical end of the school year is supposed to be at the end of May.
Okay. So we'll see if it's still the end of May.
Yeah.
And that's
we'll
just
see
for
if
your
we even
school
go back.
District.
Yes. Okay. Just my school district.
So then the question I'm sure you've been struggling with every day is how do you remix the same information and create new quote unquote packets for them if they don't go back to school?
That's a good question. We just had a faculty meeting, if you will, yesterday through Teams. And so we basically video chatted with our principal. And so before we left for quote unquote this corona break last Tuesday, we had to come up with an additional 10-day packet just in case. So kind of scrounge up things that I have / collaborating with my other geometry fellow teachers and come up with a brilliant new packet of stuff.
Just to keep the kids engaged and hopefully holding on to whatever knowledge that they were given before that moment started.
Correct.
So what was the last thing that the geometry kids were learning?
The last thing we were doing was actually preparing for our midterm. So that is not happening.
And what were the subjects that were covered just before that?
Transformations was the last unit I taught.
How do transformations work?
Those are reflections, a translation like sliding an object left, right, up or down, rotating, dilating, and then symmetry, of course.
Symmetry was, I think, one of my most favorite aspects of it. When I was in high school, my geometry teacher made us do a mini golf project. So you had to create a mini golf course and explain all the angles you would use to create a hole in one.
Huh. That would be cool. So did you actually test it out?
I did, just because I'm an overachiever. Because I had a little tiny ball and a little like kids putter still in the garage.
Uh-huh.
And so I tested it out using 2x4s.
Nice.
And it was 80% successful, and I chalked up the 20% error due to friction and strength. Because it would work if you hit it exactly there without any forces against it at a perfect shot. Once again, perfect shot. So to replicate it, I had to draw these little tiny dots on each of the little things just to kind of replicate it. But we were working on this as like a group project. So we each kind of drew them up and then created it together using like little pieces of coloring paper and having all the angles and all the math written out for each angle based on the wall that it was reflecting against, which you had to like recognize what your x-axis was because your x and y kept on changing every single time the ball would hit the wall.
Oh,
because the wall would be your next y-axis every time.
Yeah. Very cool.
So if you need a project in the future, there's that.
Yeah. Okay. Now you got me thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And also that's probably why I've kicked your husband's butt in mini golf over the past decade.
Yep. That explains a lot.
It's all geometry.
It's all geometry.
And 20% physics.
20%.
But no one else needs to know that 20%. You just assume that the physics don't exist at all.
Yeah. What's physics?
That's right. So then while you're not doing the office hours and whatnot, so my question, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at is the kids, how good are they at reaching out during this time?
I would say about half of my kids out of my four classes that I have, half of them are actually really good at reaching out almost every day. And then I started reaching out to the ones I haven't heard from yet. And most of them are just working on it, but they can't do it because they're babysitting their little brothers, or they're just out of town, or they don't have internet at the time or whatever. So most of them are pretty good at reaching out, showing me what they've done or questions. The other ones are just silently in purgatory, I guess.
And is there a similar pattern between those who reach out online and those who are very participative in class?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely say there's definitely a correlation. It's the same kids that speak up all the time.
So the kids that were going to create an excuse in class are the same ones that are creating an excuse right now, and it doesn't surprise you?
Nope, not at all.
Oh, great. That's an experience.
Yeah.
And so then after your office hours and after you're done being a professional learning regurgitator, I would call it.
Yeah,
because it's technically teaching, but you can't really teach them something new.
No.
It's rough.
My district says no. Yeah. I think it would be even rougher if I had to teach something new.
Well, and a lot of other districts and colleges are doing like lecture courses, almost like a master class.
Yeah.
Where they give you the lecture on like whatever live streaming device, and you can throw in different diagrams and whatnot. So that could be a possibility for even the further future if your district decides, yo, let's step it up.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen?
And in the meanwhile, your the handsome fuzziness is still fixing instruments?
Yes, they are. I think they are kind of similar to your gorgeous girl with the only a pickup drop-off situation. So he's still working. There's only a few of them there, and he doesn't touch any person's like credit cards or anything. He's like, here, you do it. I'm not touching it. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
So it's less sales, more instrument repair is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. He hasn't really said too much about customers coming in, but that doesn't stop them.
Because then the other question would be like, how do you purchase a musical instrument without physically touching it? Unless you, so like certain guitars, I guess if you know what you want, if you're a guitar player and know what you want by name, or I guess if you're like a saxophone guy or whatever, but still like,
yeah,
you want to have that tactile experience with a purchase. I don't know how online orders would work.
I don't know how that would either, because I'd want to test it out in person, see if I really like it, get a feel for it.
Because who knows if the one next to it might sound even better.
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. I'll have to ask him.
Well, speaking of good questions, you know how this podcast works. Normally, we start with our lovely segment known as Rhino and the Mailbox of Doom, which is when I open up my mailbox and try to find answers without getting run over by a boulder.
Uh-huh.
So lately, I've been asking a whole bunch of questions online because I can.
Of course.
And people are, I think it's called a, what's the term for keeping an audience there? They can't go anywhere. Y'all know what I mean.
Correct.
People are screaming at me right now with the actual word. So the question I've got is, what is your favorite snack? So I've got about 23 different answers.
Uh-huh.
So before I answer or give some of those, what is your favorite snack?
I've been doing a lot of snacking, so I have to figure out my favorite. I would say at the moment, beef jerky.
Beef jerky? Any particular flavor or just regular beef jerky?
Teriyaki.
Did you used to pick up different types of beef jerky up in Michigan? Is that how you grew to like it?
Kind of, yeah. I forgot where. I think it was during college. I think I got it like when it was like one of those cram sessions before exams. And I think one of my roommates grabbed a pack. And so I tried it and I've been hooked ever since.
Nice.
So
my experience with beef jerky, it was when we were going camping. One of the people who was going camping with us would just buy some at like a mom and pop shop that was attached to a off-brand gas station, because that's what happens in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so he would get some and we would all try it, and it didn't really speak to me back in the day because I was a young teenager who was extremely picky. But teriyaki sounds like it could be a fun flavor.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like the original as well, but teriyaki is my favorite at the moment.
Well, let's find out what some other people's favorites are. Right now we got mozzarella sticks.
That'd be JD's favorite.
Or wings.
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite flavor of wings?
Favorite flavor of wings. I like the Carolina mustard flavor wings.
So you like something that's got a little bit of acidity to it, but not a lot of heat.
Yes, I don't like heat at all very much.
Let's see. My lovely wife would try some of the slightly spicier ones, like some of like the Asian flavors.
That would be JD as well. He does that all the time.
Well, yeah, him. And I think he likes like Caribbean jerk and Kung Pao, that type of high intensity nonsense.
Burning your tongue type of senses. Yep.
Well, if you burn your tongue, then you're not going to be able to taste the next part of it. So it's not going to really like hurt you that much because you've already hurt yourself.
No. That's true.
It was so like tangent here. Last night I burnt my finger making pizza in the oven.
Uh-oh.
And it was like a homemade pizza. Like I got this already made crust, and then I took spaghetti sauce from last week. And I added that to it with some, like, a whole bunch of shredded cheese and some pepperoni, and I stuck it in the oven. And then when I pulled it out, I had the heating pad in my hand, but I put the pizza on my large cooking sheet because I didn't want to put it directly, like, in the grill, like, on the grate, because I don't want to clean that.
No.
Because cleaning your oven just is not a fun thing.
Nope. I don't want to do it. Veto.
So it slipped, and then part of the pan hit my finger, and now I've got a spot on my finger that's a half an inch in diameter.
Oh, no.
Which reminded me of like when we went camping with my dad and my mom, and we were up north riding our ATVs. He was trying to adjust the fire, and somehow he had tried to position himself a little bit closer to it to get everything all situated. But when he rested himself, on like a metal grate.
Ooh.
And the metal grate was one of those that you could swing. Like it was heavy, but you could kind of push it over the fire and use it to kind of cook with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he pretty much burnt the palm of his hand, and we had to use like frozen milk jugs and whatnot to keep it from blistering and having to go to the hospital and whatnot.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Yeah.
Not fun.
And so talking about like hot stuff and spicy stuff and heat, that sort of immediately reminds me of like burning sensations for your tongue. I guess like right now this spot I've got on my finger, I can't really feel it because it's both raw and numb at the same time.
Yeah.
So like parts of it I feel a lot, other parts I don't feel at all, which I think you would do the same thing with spicy food.
Yes. Not feel it. How would you taste it then if you've numbed it?
Exactly. I think you taste it the first time, and afterwards you're like, okay, it's not that bad.
Imagination.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. So speaking of tasting things, the next thing that someone put in there is Texas cheese fries.
Texas cheese fries.
I don't know what they are, but I like cheese fries.
Yeah, I like cheese fries, but why is it Texas cheese fries? Is it like bigger because it's Texas?
Well, everything's apparently bigger in Texas. So let's go on Google, type in what are Texas cheese fries. It is a Chili's recipe.
Welcome to Chili's.
Let's see what makes it a little bit difficult here. Texas cheese fries are crispy seasoned fries, which are topped with two different types of melted cheese and loaded. Here's what it is. With crispy bacon, green onions, jalapeno, and sour cream.
Yes. Sounds good.
That's the answer right there. That's what makes them Texas cheese fries.
Oh my gosh.
So we got another one that says ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Someone likes carrots and hummus.
Okay.
Or flaming hot Cheetos.
No.
Chex Mix.
That's pretty good.
Cottage cheese with applesauce.
Ew. Ew.
Or Fritos with French onion dip.
Now that would be good. I feel like that would be good.
I also got chips with salsa and guacamole.
Always good.
Green grapes or Colby Jack cheese cubes.
That was very specific on the grapes.
Yep. Well, green are different than red or purple.
The red ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I like the green ones better.
I like the red ones sometimes.
My grandmother says bananas.
Bananas. Bananas are good.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong.
Chris said peanut butter filled pretzels.
Oh, that's so good.
That sounds like an epic journey.
Oh,
we also got fresh fruit, chips and dip, warm soft pretzels with cheese dip.
Beer cheese, that would be good.
Ooh, beer cheese dip, there you go. Tootsie Rolls.
Tootsie Rolls!
My mother even laughs. She says, anything that's batter me, doesn't matter whether it's sweet or salty, I want it all. and we also got like popcorn and popcorn.
Yep.
For me, and I think my wife would agree. There's, you gotta have like a sweet snack and a salty snack because there's a difference, and you like to have one or the other or both together.
Yeah, you have to have one of each.
So like the saltiness, I like the cheddar cheese Cheez-Its snaps.
Ooh, how are those? I haven't tried those.
They're really cheesy and really tasty.
Good.
So I like those. As for something sweet, I like Reese's peanut butter cups. Now, my favorite Reese's peanut butter cup is the Reese's with the Reese's pieces inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
And the inside texture is also very similar to what you can find inside, like the Christmas trees or the eggs or whatnot.
Oh, yeah. The eggs.
Gotta love that sort of food and yumminess.
Huh. Remember the eggs we would get when we were little? I forgot what they were called, but they had like all kinds of things inside of them. It was like this huge egg.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what it's called. Oh,
was it a chocolate egg with like a Wonder Ball sort of stuff inside?
Yeah, Wonder Ball. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Gotcha. Because I remember the commercial like, I do, I do, I do, I do, I What's in the Wonder Ball?
Yes.
Which is based off of the song, The Book of Love.
The Book of Love.
Who wrote The Book of Love?
Who knows?
I don't know. But speaking of things we do know, one of them is that we will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Did you know with Rhino?
Today's episode is brought to you by yours truly. Have you enjoyed this podcast so much that you want to tell the rest of the world that you're a fan? Well, we've got all sorts of fun things relating to that on our merchandise page, zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO. And whenever you go there, there's probably a whole bunch of codes that'll help you get some awesome deals off of our merchandise. Yes, we've got hats, buttons, and a whole bunch of t-shirts, even pertaining to different inside jokes in many different episodes. So if you love Rhino, and we know you do because you're listening to this episode, then you should buy a shirt or button or a hat or two at our website, Zazzle.com, that's ZAZZLE.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO. Wear it, share it, love it. Did you know with Ryan O?
Did you know with Ryan O?
Now that we talked about all sorts of snackages and all sorts of silly things, I've got a couple random facts of the week. Do you think you're ready for some of them?
Let's do this.
All right. So one of them is about platypi, or I guess the platypus.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you know about platypuses, platypi?
I know Perry the platypus.
He's green and wears a hat and
very sneaky.
Well, one of my favorite moments in Phineas and Ferb is when like Doofenshmirtz just sees, oh, it's a platypus. And then Perry puts on a hat and he's like, Perry the platypus? Oh, no. It's a good time.
Easily disguised. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love Perry the platypus.
What else about platypi?
Platypi. I don't know much about platypi besides Perry.
Okay. They are marsupials and they're not as cute and cuddly as people think.
Yeah. Aren't they aggressive?
A little bit. And the male one has a venomous spur on its hind foot, which is capable of dispensing a poison that can kill a medium-sized dog.
Oh, wow. That I did not know.
Because they're sneaky.
Yeah, sneaky.
Super duper sneaky. They can cause things to happen that you would least expect.
Huh.
And speaking of least expecting, let's talk about heart attacks.
Okay.
So heart attacks aren't necessarily fun or interesting facts, but they do exist. What day of the week do you think they happen the most on?
Tuesday.
You're super close. The answer is Monday. There's a 20% higher chance that they happen on Mondays, specifically between 4 and 10 a.m., so Monday morning.
Huh. Yep. Stress of the day.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, too. People show up to work, and they learn something going on, or they're not prepared, and they jump into an activity.
I just can't take it.
Mm-mm. They're insane. So I think if I'm going to ever have one, I want it to be on a Thursday just to break the mold.
Why not? Because you can't be on Friday because you're going to be too happy on Friday.
That's right. And if you're going to get a day off of work, at least have it turn into a long weekend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, speaking of crazy and interesting things, it's now time for our word of the week. Whereas I tell you what the word is and you get to tell me what it means and where it came from, like its origins.
Got it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The word of the week is an adjective and it is timorous. Timorous. Timorous.
Timorous. Timorous. Timid?
That's exactly what it is. It's of being of a timid disposition or fearful, expressing or suggesting timidity. And where do you think it derives from?
Timid, timorous. I don't know. Not Greek.
It is definitely not Greek, as I bring up this website again as I'm running. Timid and timorous both derive from the Latin verb timere, meaning to fear. Timidus is the Latin ancestor of it. Whereas timorous itself came from the Latin noun timor, which means fear.
Timor.
Yep. It came around the 15th century.
But someone was named Timor. That sounds like a good name. Timor, come here.
Or it'd be a great name for a character in Egyptian god or something like that.
Yeah.
Timor, the god of fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why don't they have that? That should be a thing.
That should be a thing. Some of these names that people create for different video games and whatnot are also kind of ridiculous. Remember the old World of Warcraft games?
Oh, yeah.
How you could choose to create like an elf or an ogre or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you were to create a creature like that for like Dungeons and Dragons or a video game like that, what type of archetype would you like?
I think I'd like to be an elf.
An elf?
Yeah.
And what would your elf's specialty be? Like, what would be the weapon of choice for the elf?
Bow and arrow.
A bow and an arrow. And what would the name of your elf be?
Valeria.
Valeria?
Yeah.
Nice. I think there was a Valerium was a movie that came out not too long ago. Which is like the weird city of Valerium.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's it.
As for me, I think I would like my character to be a ranger with like an epic beard.
Of course. Gotta have a sexy beard.
And like goggles. And he would have like a prototype of a rifle.
Prototype of a rifle. Okay.
So whether it's like a crossbow that could like sling into itself like Van Helsing.
Nice.
But yeah, like a quick changing crossbow or like a little rifle. And he would also be really good with daggers, like for up close nonsense.
Of course. You can never cross a ranger.
Because he would sneak up on you and protect the wildlands.
Mm-hmm.
And so his name would be, I'm going to go pretty basic. I'm going to call him Orion.
Does he have a belt?
He should have a belt. And I'm going to... His logo would be three tiny stars on the belt buckle.
Nice.
Yep. That's how I would make my character both awkward and unique.
Of course. There's no other way.
Mm-mm. So during this time, have you been playing any video games or is it mostly just binge watching shows?
I've been doing more video games than watching shows. I haven't really wanted to do that. So... I've been playing Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing?
Yes.
What does your character currently look like?
She's got a blue shirt with white polka dots on. I forgot what kind of pants she's got. I think she's got white pants. And then she's got like blue Vans on, which is really cool. And she's
Are they actual vans?
Well, they don't call them that, but they look a lot like, if you zoom in on them, they look like Vans.
Okay.
And they match my shirt.
Nice.
And I've got straight hair. Straight, like, Auburn hair.
Nice.
Yeah.
Auburn, at the moment, straight hair. At the moment. It could change.
It could change. I gotta work up my my miles is what they use as their currency. In addition to bells, but...
Gotcha. So that's the game that you are currently playing. But you've played multiple games before that.
Yeah.
A history of gaming, whether it's with the Wii or Mario Kart. Or were you ever into Pokemon?
Mm-hmm. Not so much. I have the cards, but I don't have the game. I don't play the game. John has the game.
Gotcha. So would you be able to participate in guessing some of the top 10 best-selling video games of all time?
All right, I'll give it a try.
All right, so here's how we kind of do this now. What's going to happen is I'll have you put down or list 10, just 10 random video games that you think from like all time, for like the past 30-ish years, just list 10 video games.
Let's see. Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed. I think. Gosh. Oh, I'm spacing. I think Forza.
Okay. Forza.
Forza. I'm trying to think of everything John's played. Guitar Hero or okay. Rock Band. Of course, Mario Kart, Mario Party. Super Mario.
Okay.
Let's see. What else?
I think I got 8 right now.
8? Okay.
So 2 more.
2 more. Okay. Splatoon.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of something I played when I was younger. Let's see. Let's go with I don't know, Wii, something in the Wii.
Okay, like Wii what? Like what genre of Wii games?
All I can think of is Wii Sports, but that's not.
Love it. I'll allow it. It's a game.
All right.
So that's your 10. So let's.
Okay.
So we're gonna start with number 10 of our top 10 best-selling video games of all time from the IGN website. Number 10 at 30 million plus. I think it's copies, no, or is it dollars? Either way, we're at 30 million plus. It's Diablo 3.
Diablo 3.
Which is one of those video games like the fantasy realm, and you get to pretty much, create a character and fight all these beasties and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I just thought of a really good one. Now.
Which one?
Halo.
I'll put it on your list as a...
Okay.
We'll see if it shows up. All right.
All right.
Number 9, okay. You were correct. Wii Sports.
Oh, cool. That was the last one.
Yeah. At 33. Number 8, which is Mario Kart for the Wii. So you've got
Woo-hoo!
That one.
All right.
37. Super Mario Brothers, 40 million. So you got Woo-hoo! That one too. Nice work.
Cool. 3 for 3.
Pokemon, 45 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the red, blue, green, or yellow, those versions.
Okay.
The versions between 1998 and 2000.
Mm. Oh, wow.
This one is called Player Unknown's Battleground. It's number 5. Battlegrounds. It looks like it's one of those shooting games with like just a whole bunch of shooting going on.
Okay.
Number 4 is another version of Wii Sports. So the first one that was on there, the number 9, is Wii Sports Resort.
Resort?
Yep, so it happened on a resort. This is just Wii Sports in general. 82.86 million.
Oh, wow.
With only a score of 7.5, but everyone wanted it or had it because of the launch of the Wii. It pretty much came with it.
Yeah.
Number 3 was Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Number 2, every single kid has it. It's Minecraft.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
176 million.
Of course.
I'm thinking it's copies. It's got to be, or is it doll? I don't even know. Oh, yeah, it is. It's copies.
Copies? What's copies?
Copies of it.
Oh, copies of it. Got it. Okay.
It's the actual physical games themselves or the downloads and whatnot.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah, because here it says for the Minecraft, as of October 2018, Microsoft announced Minecraft reached 154 million copies sold. So that was at that time. And number 1, with over 500 million copies sold, it's probably found on almost every single phone. It's Tetris.
Tetris!
Mm-hmm. Everyone's pretty much played Tetris or a version of it.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't packed a car, you don't know what you're doing.
That's right. It's just actual, like, real-life Tetris.
Cool.
You get everything all situated, and all of a sudden someone brings in an extra piece of luggage, and you're like, I don't have any space for that. How do I rearrange it?
Tetris.
Tetris. So
Tetris skills.
So with your Animal Crossing, traveling back a tiny bit, what is the overall goal of the Animal Crossing?
Because there's different versions, because everyone has a different, like, a New Leaf I have on the DS, you're a mayor and you have to keep things, like, you can run your town however you want. The New Horizons that just came out last week, this one you're on an island and your goal is to get miles through achievements, like fishing certain amounts of fish or different things that you dig up or catch bugs or whatever. I think it's just island, not necessarily being like the mayor or anything like that. And then, of course, expanding your home and all the accessories that you could get with all of those achievements.
So it sounds like a kid's version of The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
But with bugs and fruit and fish.
It's kind of like Minecraft, actually, now a little bit with that thrown in there.
Okay, so you can randomly, but you don't have that high level building. It's just kind of like a house as opposed to building a mountain.
Right, you don't build it, but you do, in the terms of Minecraft, you do like collect supplies. Like if you knock down a tree or chop down a tree, you can collect wood, of course, let's see, what else can you do? Oh, things. If you hit rocks with your axe or your shovel, you can collect stone and coal and stuff like that. So you can use that as some materials to build materials and like make materials. And some of the older versions, you would just purchase them. In this version, in New Horizons, you get to create it and DIY it, is what they called it.
Got it. So it's got that added HGTV value to it.
Yeah, kind of.
Lately, I've been playing Star Wars Galactic Heroes on my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing it all the time. And what your goal is to collect heroes or villains or whatever, like light side, dark side. You correct characters, and then you upgrade your characters, and you have them go out on like five, your team of five players versus other people's teams or the computer's teams, and you go through different missions of just like I had a team of Anakin Skywalker and Yoda and Luke and Darth Vader and a stormtrooper. And they were all going out to like shoot a whole bunch of Ewoks. And so you collect different pieces to upgrade yourself, or currency to make yourself stronger, or different character shards to create more characters. And then there's also the ship element, where you can collect different ships and then have them battle other people's ships. Like, you could eventually get the Millennium Falcon.
Ooh, that would be really cool.
Yeah, right now, I just got a whole bunch of, like, Jedi starfighters, or Boba Fett's Slave One from the second and third, or cool. should I say Return of the Jedi, Empire, and Attack of the Clones.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a good old time.
Yeah.
So... With it, people can also be my friend in the game, and then they could use my character to help them out with increasing or fighting some of the people that are too strong for them.
Okay.
So how does the friend element of Animal Crossing work? Because I keep on seeing nowadays everyone being like, yo, add me.
You can go to either someone's town or island in this case, and you can go visit their town, and you can just go hang out, and you could, if you collect anything while you're at somebody else's island or just an island in general or town, and you come back and you sell what you have collected, like you can collect anything, trees, flowers, fish, seashells, whatever, and you can sell it, and it could be a better price for it than on your island.
Okay, because they're probably, because it's different, I think, is what the aspect of it is.
Yeah.
Just because it's different.
Yeah, just because it's different, and you probably don't have it. Like, I don't have palm trees on my island, but I went to a different island, and they had some, so I, of course, I planted some, and then I sold some, so.
Is there also an element of, of like message boards or like leaving a message on someone's island?
I think if you go, there is a message board like in the center of everybody's town. So if you visit it, I think you can leave a message on the message board. But you can't like message somebody through mail to somebody else's island, unfortunately. You can only like leave a message for yourself via mail at this time.
Gotcha. In the Star Wars game, you can have like an open chat with your guild.
Oh, that's so cool.
But, and you can also work together. Right now, the guild I have is fighting General Grievous.
Oh, General Grievous.
Yeah, and you slowly whittle away at his health until he's defeated. And then whoever like whittles, so they rank you based on how much health you've like how much damage you've given him.
Uh-huh.
And then you can collect different things, like more things based on the higher rank you get based on everyone else in your group.
Okay.
Right now I'm working my way to unlocking the young Han Solo.
Yo, the young Han Solo. Hot Solo.
when John was watching, when I make him watch these Star Wars movies, does he make
Which
you
he
watch
loves.
Them with you?
Sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll watch them after when I've gone to bed or something. But yeah, sometimes he's like, I gotta watch this for the podcast. Can we watch it? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
So. Did he make you watch Solo?
I think I wanted to watch Solo anyway, so I was like, hey, you want to watch Solo? He's like, yeah, I got to do this for the podcast anyway, so we did.
So then the big question, Did you like it?
I think I liked it the second time that I saw it.
The first time, it's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in. With most movies, there's a lot to take in nowadays with what they throw at you, especially Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, taking a second look at it, I can, like, okay, now I can digest everything for the most part.
I still stand by my overall statement, which I've made on the podcast, is that a Star Wars movie is, even that one, is still going to be better than most other movies.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Like, I'd rather watch Solo over When Harry Meets Sally.
Yeah, I still have never seen that, and I don't feel like it.
It's not that bad.
I'll put it on my list.
Well, if we're going to create a list, I've got a big list for you.
Oh, I need a list because I'm kind of not interested in what I've created for myself.
So then what sort of streaming services do you have right now?
I've got YouTube TV. I've got the YouTubes. I've got the Netflix. I've got the Hulu. I have HBO. And temporarily, we have Amazon Prime.
Ooh. Temporarily? What does mm-hmm. that mean?
I think we got it. John just told me last night, I think, that we have it possibly because they were giving, like, a really good deal, I think, due to coronavirus, that they were, we have it for a year for a really cheap price. So
nice.
I think we have it for a year.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It comes in handy. Like, Rachel and I have been watching Downton Abbey.
Yes. Oh, John's like, you should watch it so you and Ryan could podcast about it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, you should, because I'm almost done. We're in the middle of season 5.
Oh my gosh, you barreled through it. Holy wow.
Yeah, we started about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh wow. I haven't watched it, I think, all the way through since the first time I saw it all. So it's been some time.
It's so far, like, I'm not sure if I like it or I like the drama of it.
Right?
That which I'll have to give another opinion after I'm officially done, but right now it's a bit rough.
Yeah. Is this your first time watching it all?
It is.
Okay. What is your impressions at the moment?
There are certain characters that I like, but I've got this unique ability from all these shows that I've watched where I should have became a TV writer. Because one of my specialties just in life is being able to recognize patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Pattern recognition has always been strong with me, whether it's like test taking. Like, I barely study and I can recognize a pattern and answer questions on the test based on that.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. Like, we were watching Vampire Diaries for the first time.
Mm.
And when we chucked through it, I was like, okay, I'm going to pause right here. I guess that by the end of this season, so-and-so is going to die and so-and-so are going to get married. And then Rachel's like, I don't know, we'll see. And then by the end of the one season, I look at her, I'm like, huh? Huh?
You were right.
And so I've gotten to a point where I'm like, uh-oh, they're talking heavily about this character. And then they've shown a lot more of this character. I bet character X is going to die. And with like certain shows, it's like maybe, and then it's like I sometimes hate it when I'm right, because I usually like the characters that they kill off.
Of course, they always kill off the good ones.
It's always a bummer. Or you only get like one character one time, like with Paul Giamatti.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the London episode of like season 4, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Of Downton, and just seeing him because he's Cora's brother.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like seeing stuff like that, it's like, oh, I hope we see him again. I doubt it. I hope we see it again. Because a lot of these British shows usually have, like, some people make, like, a one or two episode guest spot. And then they mm-hmm. have people who make, like, a season guest spot.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like Richard Grant, when he showed up in one of the seasons, he was there for a while. And, like, he did that with Doctor Who, where he played a villain for, like, random episodes.
Yeah.
But he would keep on reoccurring for, like, I think he was in three or four episodes.
Uh-huh.
And it was an interesting change. That's kind of what the British shows do. They kind of recycle some of their best actors. They're like, who's available? For how long? How much does he want? Okay, cool. Here we go.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, though. I like that because then you get to keep the good ones around for a while.
Yeah, it keeps some of the... it keeps you on your toes, but also, you know, it plays to why the shows are as good as they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you have HBO.
Yeah.
Right now, I just started Westworld.
Westworld? What's that?
So Westworld is based off of the movie from the 1970s with Yul Brynner, but you don't need to see it. It's basically about a Wild West theme park.
Okay.
And pretty much everyone in this Wild West theme park is a robot. But they don't know it. But you, as the guest who shows up at this Wild West theme park, you know that everyone else is not real. And you can play out your wildest fantasies and live out a interesting life. And you could possibly shoot people and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And so it's a bit dark.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a quick journey... give it an episode. See if it strikes your fancy. Otherwise, I don't know. We'll see if it's your thing or not.
Yeah, why not? I'll have to check it out.
Because I think I'm three episodes in right now, and it's the timeline's a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to keep that in mind that it's stylistic, like there are choices okay. being made.
Okay.
But it also has James Marsden in it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep. He's in it, and Anthony Hopkins and Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, man, you got all the good guys.
Yeah, like, it's pretty good. Cool.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
So that's probably what I'm going to do after this podcast is continue watching that and then clean the house again.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's my goal.
Gotta have daily goals.
You do. Like, otherwise, if you don't have, like, milestones, how else do you judge how you're doing? Like, with the school and the kids, you know, callback. How do you know how they're doing unless you're doing, like, certain benchmarks they have to meet?
Right. Mm-hmm. You have to keep yourself sane as well.
Yes, you got to keep yourself moving forward.
Yeah. Otherwise, I didn't know it was Tuesday.
It's Tuesday?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Okay. Right on. That's a journey.
Yeah.
So lately I've been doing a thing where we do like a quick recap of the episodes. We talked about mobile teaching, as I'm calling it.
Okay.
Little bit of... geometry when it comes to mini golf. We talked about mm-hmm. snacks, platypus, Mondays, a word of the week. We also talked about fantasy characters, video games, and binge watching shows. So what do you think our question of the week should be?
For this week?
Yeah.
For the
episode.
For the episode, let's see. How much toilet paper do you have?
How much toilet paper do you have?
Yeah.
We could ask that. That question will probably be asked, like, this episode probably won't come out until May.
Oh, okay.
So if you want me to ask them about toilet paper in May, I can, but this crisis will probably be over by then.
Yeah, so let me change my question. Okay. Favorite candy bar.
favorite candy bar. Love it. Excellent. That sounds like a grand old time. And for those of you out there, if you want to answer that question, you can do so on the Book of Faces, Did You Know with Ryan O. You can email me, didyouknowryano@gmail.com, or you can also check us out on Twitter at didyouknowryano. Thank you once again, Rachel, for joining me on this epic adventure.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We hope you folks had lots of fun. We know we surely did. For those of us here, to those of you there, don't forget to find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.
Did you know it?